Good morning. Again, the reading is coming from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Thank you very much, Sally, for sharing that incredible reading with us. I do love Paul's writings. Particularly when he can't sort of stop himself really from talking so passionately about the things that matter the most. Well, do keep that reading open as we look through some of those verses this morning. If you were with us last week, I hope that you joined us as we introduced our motto text for 2021 for our church here. We found that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. And I printed mine out now so that it's a constant reminder, and it's also my screensaver on the computer at home. I'm going to keep looking at that and keep seeing what God has to say to me through that particular verse, as well as what we do together as church during this year. We start a new series next week, just unpacking that a little bit more, how to live life. And I hope that you'll continue to join us through this next season as we explore what this Colossians 1:10 verse means for us, each one of us in our situation right now. Well, we are in 2021 now, and 2020, some of you will be glad that it's over, and some of us, we're still looking back at it with all the distractions and the disruptions that happened throughout that particular year. We're 10 days into 2021 now, and it seems as if life's still the same. Distractions and disruptions already are entering our lives and entering our world. Disruptions of broken dreams and passions that we've had to put down, and plans that we made that are no longer going to be part of our life. And 2021, we've already seen some of that disruption and distraction continue around our world. So how can we ensure that 2021 is going to be different for all of us during this particular time? Well, I think it sounds simple, but we give our attention to Jesus. We focus on him. We build our lives around him. Not just what we believe about Jesus, our theology, what we hold in our heads, not just knowing the do's and don'ts of what a Christian should do or be or how they should live, our ethics, if you like, but how we live the Jesus life, our lifestyle, how our theology turns into action, how our ethics become part of the everyday decision-making that we make. And I think this is what Paul is writing to these new believers in this new church in Colossae, to try and lift their eyes to say, we can do this. You can do this. You can live this life that is worthy of the Lord, that pleases him in every way. Because there's going to be more distractions and there's going to be more disruptions, and the fog of life is going to come upon us at different times. I'm sure many of you have driven in foggy conditions, And it's a very tough thing to do, isn't it? The light seems to reflect straight back at you. And the one thing you long for when it's foggy is to see a set of red lights in front of you. And you follow those red lights. Now, you mustn't get too close to them. Obviously, that's dangerous. And if you see white lights coming towards you, please avoid them, whatever you can. But red lights, you can follow them, and it makes things clearer. You know, I think Jesus, this is a bit simplistic, I understand, but Jesus is like that set of red lights for us. That when fog comes into our life, distractions and disruptions, we're looking for that leading of Jesus, when we fix our eyes on him. Jesus didn't come to offer us a means of escape from the things that happen around us. He didn't offer us a quick way to heaven and to assure us of that as quickly as possible. He came to teach us how to live life and live this worthy life. To live life in all its fullness in the everyday world that we find ourselves in. Every choice. He didn't offer an escape route to heaven. He wants heaven to get into us. And I think this is what Paul begins to unpack in these verses in Colossians. If you've got your Bible, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. Faith, love, and hope. And I just want to explore those three aspects of what living life that's worthy of the Lord looks like for each of us during this year of 2021. 2,000 years after Paul wrote those words, I think they're still as relevant for us and will help to drive us towards that a goal of that worthy life. So firstly, live by faith in Christ Jesus. Everyone builds their life on something. Faith is the material that followers of Jesus build their lives on. Now, I may have told you this story before, forgive me if I have, but our next door neighbor during lockdown made me feel quite inadequate. He has built a playhouse in his garden for his kids out of wooden pallets. Can you believe it? I mean, I looked at it every day as he was making it and began to feel that my DIY skills were totally inadequate, which they are. And so out of this material that he had, this waste material, these pallets that he had, he built this incredible playhouse for his kids. Amazing. I'm not sure it's just for the kids, though, because I have a feeling that he's put a TV in there so he can escape into it at just the right time when homeschooling gets a bit too much. But, you know, we build our lives around the material that we've got. We've all got material for building life. We've got our family upbringing, our experiences. We've got the good and not so bad experiences of our lives. We've got our education, our skills that we've learned, the expectations and encouragements that have come our way, with things that have happened to us that we've had to work through, tough things and great things as well. Our experience of faith that has been passed down to us sometimes from our family, or we've built up from becoming part of a church. We've all got material to build our lives on. But one thing we can choose is whether or not Jesus becomes the foundation that we start building from, or the cornerstone that gives us the shape of our lives for the future, or the plan that we begin to use. And I think Paul here, who's heard of the Colossian Christians' faith in Jesus Christ, and he commends them for it. I've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. Not their building, not their bank balance, not their style of worship, not their liturgy. He's heard about their faith in Christ Jesus. The thing that is ringing out from that small community of believers is their faith in Christ Jesus. I wonder if that could be the first thing that people say about me. Your faith in Christ Jesus. Faith is beyond belief. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, even the demons believe. But Paul, just as James, says that faith is only faith when it is lived, when it is seen, and when it is acted upon. To live by faith. This isn't blind obedience to a set of doctrines, but this is a response to who Jesus is. when Sally read to us in Colossians 1:15. This is who Jesus is, the Son, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. This is Jesus. This is living by faith in Christ Jesus, to trust the truth of who he is and to build our life on that material. A life shaped by that kind of faith. Faith is not trying harder. It's not closing our eyes and hoping we back the right horse. It's not fingers crossed or touch wood. Faith is God's gift to you and to me, revealed in Jesus, beyond belief, rock solid foundation that I can build on my faith in Christ Jesus. Will you live by faith this year? Secondly, Paul says, be known for love for all God's people. During 2020, we've witnessed plenty of division around the world, and this week has revealed that just again. We know it's there, but to see it in the way that we have done, with the tensions in politics, in racial and ethnic tension, in disagreements and disappointments, and some of that is not just on a national scale, it seeps into families and it seeps into relationships, it seeps into our hearts. When challenges come, love can disappear too easily. And the letters of Paul and Peter and James, all of them say, love one another. Be known for your love of all God's people. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter urges sincere love. Now, when he says that, he means without hypocrisy. He says, I want you to have deep love. I want you to stretch out a hand to rescue those who need rescuing with the love of Jesus flowing out of you. You know, I love swimming in the sea. In fact, I learned to swim in the sea in North Wales, actually, not a million miles from where we are now. And I learned to swim in the sea, and I love swimming in the sea much more than swimming pools. But there was one moment when I was swimming that I wasn't sure I was going to make it back to shore. The waves had got very strong and very high, and it was very tough to get back. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But in that moment, my dad, who was in the sea with me, he stretched out his hand and he lifted me up and helped me to shore. I think that's what the love of that Peter's talking about, this deep love, is all about. It's reaching out a hand to rescue someone who's near to you, who needs to know that love of Jesus from you, from me. Much of life, especially now, is spent isolated and alone. We're not with other followers for a lot of our days. That's why this connection is so important. When you're out on your own, at work, homeschooling your kids, in a family where you're the only one who has faith in Jesus, when you're facing a decision or you're under pressure from your peer group about making a shortcut and going against your beliefs, when we know it's the wrong thing to do, that's when knowing that we are connected to other followers of Jesus, that's when it counts. To love in that way, that's what makes the difference. Paul, again, in the reading, further on in verse 24 of Colossians 1, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul goes on in chapter 2, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. See, Paul says this love shows people Christ. It reveals, and he's working strenuously towards that goal. He's contending, he's struggling, he's striving. He wants them to be united, knitted together in love, because he knows that to be known for love is a strength that we can reveal to one another, to know that this reflects the love of Jesus for us. Love doesn't give up until all are mature. We don't attend church, we can all do that. We get connected to people. And as much as we're not meeting in person now, we can stay connected to one another. Be known for love. And finally, Paul says, be a voice of hope. This hope that is stored up in heaven. Be a voice for what we're looking forward to. how desperately our community needs to hear a voice of hope. Not optimism, not wishful thinking, but hope. Verse 5 in Colossians 1, faith and love spring from the hope stored up in heaven. They burst out of this hope that we can have because of Jesus. All the broken dreams, ambitions, plans can be used by God to create something even better if we keep that hope to be a voice of hope. You know, our young people at the moment facing uncertainty with their futures because of exams being disrupted and university places being unsure. Many of you at work, perhaps some of you are furloughed right now, some of you in danger of losing jobs or have lost them, or you've got changed circumstances. Teachers, it must be crazy at the moment for you again. Those of you working in the NHS with all the pressures that you're facing as well. Our circumstances around us are changing. Families, some of you have lost loved ones during this season. Some of you have been separated from your family for a very long time. We've missed celebrations. We've missed time spent together. And all that's painful. And the heartache and the frustration, the loss that we feel is real. And we acknowledge that as family together. But God is in the business of doing a new thing. This is the voice of hope that he longs for us to share. He's in recreation business. He's in restoration business. The years the locusts have destroyed, he says he will make up to each person who trusts him. He has plans to give you a future that to prosper and succeed. He takes the old and makes it new. You know, in Japan, there's a form of pottery, kintsugi, it's called. And it's about repairing broken pottery. And they don't just repair it with anything ordinary. It's repaired with lacquer, dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. And that repair line is not hidden. It's there for all to see. So that something broken becomes even more beautiful and more valuable, even though all the cracks are there. But they're just filled with gold. Breakage and repair are part of our history, aren't they? Part of each of our lives. But maybe it's not something to disguise. The scars we all carry are part of the roadmap of our lives that tell this story of hope, that no matter what has happened, we're still going to have our hope in Jesus, in God's promises of each day and the future. It doesn't wipe away the past. It is our story. Every step pointing to the bigger story of hope that echoes throughout God's world. I'm guessing you may have had this type of experience. A few days after my dad died, quite a few years ago now, I was traveling on the A635 that goes from Holmfirth to Oldham. And it was a route that I traveled a few times. But on this particular day, it's quite a mundane route, really. It's very flat around the moors there. But there's a moment when the view just bursts out. A view of a reservoir, of the hills all around. And as the sun was shining, as I drove down this road, suddenly this view came on. And I had to stop and look at it and just say, God, I find my hope in you. No matter what has just happened, no matter what the pain and the loss, God, my hope is in you. And I want to be a voice of hope into our world. Colossians 1 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out to the gospel, this is the promise of the Father. This is the work of Jesus on the cross for each one of us. He takes all our brokenness. He picks up the pieces to give us all hope. He makes something beautiful. And our story can be the voice of hope to those who still need to hear it. How did the cross become faith, love, and hope? How did such suffering and brokenness become life and life in all its fullness? Well, because of the one who went there, who suffered and died for me, who burst out of the tomb in resurrection power, who pointed us to something even greater than this, that nothing needs to be the same ever again. We can live by hope. We can be known for love, and we can be a voice of hope. We're going to take a moment and share communion together this morning. You've got time to go and get your bread and some juice if you haven't already prepared it, so you can join in with this. But this act of communion is remembering the story of the one who gave his life for us to make life possible. We look up to God with thanks. We look back to the cross. We look forward to the promise, and we look around to one another, even though we're separated today. And I urge you to join in as we remember and as we commit ourselves to live this life of faith, to be known for our love and to be a voice of hope.